As our country, United States, celebrates our 250th birthday. That's why you can see the logo I'm wearing. Two things are made very clearly. No matter the imperfection this country reflects, one great thing about being an American and being in America is that America affirms itself as the greatest country in the world. And in that affirmation, the acceptance also comes. Because when you keep affirming, it creates a groove in your subconscious mind, your consciousness. If you say, I am the greatest thing on earth, isn't that why they came out with the acronym GOAT, greatest of all time? It begins to make a wave where you begin to believe yourself. And that energy begins to settle within and around us. And it allows us to be more gentle and accepting of ourselves. But if we go on the other side, oh, we're the poorest country in the world, we're the this, we're the that, it has its own weight. And that's why in the scriptures, it emphasizes accepting, affirming oneself. And that brings his own blessings to us, that divine blessing. God did not say, I created you to be shallow and that you are evil, you are negative, you are not all of that. God did not say that. Because if God says that, well, you can just imagine what will happen to all of creation. Let us create them in our own image. So, what image is God? It's not negative. God didn't say, well, I don't have any power. I don't have any love. No. God is all loving, he's all powerful, he's all of that. And is affirmed in each and every one of us. And then the universe accepts that. Whatever you project in, that's what you become. That's why some holy ones will say, don't ever call yourself a sinner. Because God didn't say, I created you a sinner, my child. No. It's just part of what happened. So you didn't obey the law. Whoop-de-doo. Sometimes you get away with it. Sometimes you don't. You get locked up. Sometimes we get tickets. So the scripture emphasizes that we should accept and affirm one another. And let the blessings reign, the blessings of our affirmation. Because whatever we affirm is a reflection on God. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 7, this is what it says. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you. In order to bring praise to God. Do we get this? If you say you are nothing, well, then you become nothing. Then there is nothing that glorifies God in nothing. I'm not talking where they say empty your mind. That's a different thing. Because when you empty your mind in that nothingness, then that means you've allowed God to fill it with God's presence. So when it's said in Romans that this is the foundational directive for all people, not just Christians, who choose to know God, choose to walk the way of wisdom. Embrace yourself without judgment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, he said, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. He didn't say tear each other down. You can't build somebody else's up if you keep tearing yourself down. How can I build you up if I feel like, oh, I'm the most useless person on earth? Because whatever, if I don't have it, how can I see it in you? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This explicitly commands the affirmation and encouragement of each other. They don't have to be Christians if you think you are Christians. Are they humans? Yes. Do they feel what you feel? Yes. When the sun shines, they feel it as you feel it. Maybe we might have different tolerance. We feel it when the rain, when it pours rain. And in the book of Ephesians 4:32, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We should pay attention to those verses. None of those tears anybody down. He's telling you, you are worthy of God's presence because you are a child of God. And I don't see God rejecting anyone, even the most, the worst of the worst in behavior. God said, that's still my child. And that's why you see some mothers and fathers, the love they have for that, even when their child is addicted to negativity or doing something bad, they still don't want their child killed because that's their child. So when we affirm and accept one another and each other and ourselves, now here what is going to roll in? The blessings we're talking about. The Lord bless you. This is in the book of Numbers. There's actually a book in the Bible called Numbers. Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Some of us prefer this phrase. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Oh my God, when we are living in peace, everything is so clear to us. But when we are living in chaos and subjecting ourselves to that negativity, well, we wonder why we're confused, why our food won't digest on time, why all kinds of things happen to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We know this is the classic priestly blessing for of favor, protection, and peace. And it's not just in the Christian Bible all of this comes up. In Luke 6, 27, 28, this is the Gospel of Luke now. That's what we actually, from my perspective, we call O. Now, that's the Christian part of the Bible, isn't it? The other one is the Jewish part of the Bible. And then whatever is in the middle belongs to everybody else. So the Psalms belongs to everyone. In Luke 6, 27, 28, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. So if you are listening to what Jesus and the holy ones have said, love your enemies. It's not because you are doing the so-called enemy any favor. You are doing yourself that favor because you've released yourself from that heaviness of that negative vibration that you say, that is my enemy. How can anyone even be your enemy for Christ's sake? What did they do? Did they eat your lunch? Go get another lunch. If you don't have money, ask God. He will send you another lunch. I mean, didn't God send manna to the Jews when they were crying, okay, would have been better off in Egypt. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And then in the book of Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because sometimes people confuse the mission of Jesus. He came to show us that we are good enough as child of God. We are good enough for love. That's why he said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And that Jesus has God. Say, praise be to the God and Father. Sometimes when I'm praying, I say, oh God of Jesus, God will do me good. Because you are my God, you are the same God, you are the same Father. Because I remember I've had some conversations before. People say, why do we say, oh God of our fathers and mothers? Oh God of Timothy Obadiah, oh God of Lahiri Maharsha. Say, it looks like we're worshiping them. No, you are not worshiping anyone. I remember the first time, you know, I was exposed to the Hindu way. You bow to the guru. The guru is there. The guru is there. It's like, I was confused. Like, I'm not bowing to no one. I only bow to God. Well, because they are God. You are God. God is in you. God is in me. I'm not worshiping you. If I curtsy, if I say namaste, it's the God in you. Whoever lives, whoever exists, if anything exists, you know God is present. It took me a while then. Oh, okay. I can call that one. Okay, that's my master. Before it's like God is my master. Initially, I used to have issues with Jesus Christ being, they say, Jesus Christ is all and all. I say, okay. Now that I got my understanding screwed right in my head, I can see why they say that, because Jesus Christ represents what? God. You and I represents God. So what's the beef? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh my God, that is a big one. That is humongous. That is huge. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. If we even try to understand that, because that's the power of life. He wasn't talking about Jesus now, because he already talked about Jesus. Then he anchored it in Christ, which is in every creation. That's the power that created everything. And the last time I checked, I don't think the power of creation said, oh well, you are not a Jesus follower, you are this, so you're not gonna exist. No. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms And then we come to the physical realm and we forget where we came from. With every spiritual blessings in Christ. And when you have that blessings, well, you know nothing can touch you. Affirm others by accepting them. Everybody is looking for affirmation. Unless you want to deceive yourself. All of us were looking for affirmation. Even that's why some of us go to church. Because we don't want to end up in hell. We don't want our names cast off. No. Everybody is looking for affirmation. Have you noticed that? People will do almost anything to get it. If you don't believe that, just watch some of the reality shows. I mean, I take a glimpse, I just run away from the reality shows because it's like, and we can't blame them, that's their generation where everybody wants to put out there what is going on. But what are they looking for when they put out their secret? Oh, this is what I'm doing. They are looking for affirmation. Look at what people do to get on TV so that they can be applauded, isn't it? Remember Jerry, what was the guy who used to host? Jerry Springer, thank you. And all those in those days. I mean, those, I watch mother and daughter go after each other, and I'm thinking, whoa, slow down here. Because they want that applause, that affirmation. And sometimes maybe they are coaching, they goad them to act like that. So if we seek affirmation and applaud within ourselves, by ourselves, then you can just imagine what God does. God is an incredibly affirming and loving father and mother too. Because when you and I affirm other people, we are showing love and representing what Jesus stands for. The pure channel of love. Jesus affirmed people as he ministered to them. Remember when you say, your faith has made you whole. Oh, isn't that affirmation? And can you imagine how encouraging that is? Somebody who's crippled and Jesus said, oh, okay, I'll heal you. Your faith has made you whole because, okay. You think anything will be able to take that person's faith away after that? When they've seen the result. Remember the woman who went, you said, if I can just touch the edge of Jesus, And then she was healed. And Jesus said, the power has gone out of me. And the disciples, it's because somebody touched me. And the disciples said, oh, come on, master. Look, we're barely able to wiggle here because people are coming. And you said the power. And Jesus said, I know what I'm talking about. Did the power go out of you? He went out of me, and I know. And then the woman came. I'm sorry, master. I just said, look, if I can just say, my daughter, don't worry about that. Your faith has made you whole. So from you can imagine from that day on, whatever challenges that woman faces, because she has that faith, she just bring that faith back, like she will be swimming in that faith because she knows, even if she never sees Jesus again, she knows that power of God will be there for her. So Jesus affirmed as he goes around doing his ministry. Remember the one on the little guy on the little tree? He said, you come down, today I'm going to go. He affirmed. He's like, I'm coming to dine with you today. So as we do affirmation and acceptance of ourselves, we are doing just like what Jesus did. We're showing the world a little bit more about what God is like. And one of the best ways to affirm people in everyday life is to show them acceptance. When you accept someone for everything, you're not sorting it out. Oh, okay, I like this part of you, I don't, you know. Then you're accepting them. Because we quoted earlier on in Romans 15, said, where it says, accept one another just as Jesus Christ accepted you. Because the easy choice sometimes is to snub and belittle and demean people. And some of us do that. I'm not going to talk to that one. Talk to the hand. Because we do that easy way, easy choice, when we snub and belittle and demean, especially when they don't measure up to our standards. We all have a tendency to take our strengths and project them on other people, and then put them down when they don't meet our expectations. And sometimes I've seen how spirit will test that out among us. I'm going to give you an example, and some of you will chuckle now. Say, for instance, you may be someone who is always punctual. You know, you arrive on time, they say it's 8 o'clock, but before 8. And when other people are late, whether they're doing American time or African time or whatever time or meal time, I see faces now. We tend to look down your nose at them. And don't try to deny it. I can feel you and like, oh. And sometimes that's when I have to explain. If the Lord is talking to me, until the Lord releases me, I'm not showing up. I may apologize for my tardiness. But I know people say, oh, there goes Papa Moses again. So we should not be like that. We should not look down on people because they don't measure up to us. So let me repeat that and I'll wrap that up. For instance, you may be someone who is always punctual, and when other people are late, you tend to look down your nose at them. At the same time, it makes you feel good about yourself because you are better at being on time. Or maybe you are a very tidy person who can't help but notice when you go to other people's houses how messy everything is. And it makes you feel better about yourself. We tend to project our strengths on other people, forgetting that we have weaknesses in other areas. The better way we can do it, instead of putting other people down, why not try lifting that up and giving them opportunities to transform? Because in book of Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection and sisterly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing great honor to one another. I'm going to wrap this whole thing up because my point has been put out there. Stop insisting that people be just like you. You realize and rejoice in the fact that they are different. The truth of the matter is, the world would be a boring place if everyone else were just like you and I. So God has made us all in different kinds of ways to do all different kinds of things, so everything can get done in this world. So the goal of a family, a small group, a church, or any community, it's not to mold people into your image, but to accept and affirm each other and help each other discover who God made you and I to be. Now, here's a nice story to wrap this up. Hallelujah. And I'm going to actually make this into a series because next Sunday, God willing, we'll go to another part of this. Here's a story for us to wrap this up. A carpenter and his apprentice were walking together through a large forest. And when they came across a tall, huge, gnarled, old, beautiful oak tree. Some of us, we've seen those things when we go hiking and all of that. The carpenter asked his apprentice, "Do you know why this tree is so tall, so huge, so gnarled, so old and beautiful?" The apprentice looked at his master and said, "No, why?" "Well," the carpenter said, "because it is useless." Hold that word like that. There's more to that. If it had been useful, it would have been cut long ago and made into tables and chairs. But because it is useless, it could grow so tall and so beautiful that you can sit in its shade and relax. Think about that. There's a deeper meaning to that. Sometimes what you are judging yourself about, that you continue to affirm yourself in a negative way, you don't know the whole story why God put that weakness or that challenge to you. Maybe to make you stronger. To make you smarter. Remember the story of Gideon? He was black sheep of the whole family, and his family was the black sheep of the whole. And go and read the story of Gideon. Because if they had been stronger and all that, probably Gideon wouldn't be. When God finally said, "I'm going to use me," you've not taken care of us. Because he said, "What do you want? Well, God, take if you take care of us, go read the story." So, to wrap this up in this story, the world, you and I, says, if you are not making good use of your time, you are useless. Remember what they call that, the useless tree? Jesus says, "Come spend some useless time with me." If we think about prayer in terms of its usefulness to us, what prayer will do for us, because that's why some of us pray. That's why we go to God. What can we get from God? It becomes transactional. We don't want to go to hell and all of that. No. If we think about prayer in terms of its usefulness to us, what prayer will do for us, What spiritual benefits will we gain? What insights will we gain? What divine presence we may feel? God cannot easily speak to us, because that's what is impeding us in our meditation. We want to have this experience so that we can talk about it. But then those who relaxes, remember in some of them tell, okay, look, whatever your day has been, leave it outside the door, like it's the shoes you're taking off. Focus in that moment now and all of that. Because if you are, remember I talked about being empty, that way God can fill that emptiness. Doesn't mean being empty is useless. But if we can detach ourselves from the idea of the usefulness of prayer and the results of prayer, we become free to waste time. A precious hour, to waste a precious hour with God in prayer. Gradually, we may find our useless, quote unquote, time will transform us, and everything around us will be different. That's why God say, bring all that you are. Bring both your stinky self and just bring it to me. And I'll decide which one, you know. Prayer is being unbusy with God instead of being busy with other things. Prayer is primarily to do nothing useful or productive in the presence of God. God, if you are trying to impress God, that's what, you know. God say, I created you. I know what I created you from. And I know what mission I set you. So you're trying to impress me? Why don't you just be yourself? Come as then. Then let me determine what impresses me, huh? And that's why they tell us, if you really want to make yourself laugh big time, like you're in a comedy show, go in meditation and try telling God exactly how you want God to treat you. And then even the angels will be laughing. But if you go and affirm and accept that God knows you, you know God. That's why the saints, it's a, when they get to that level, they don't even pray. Because they know the one who is life will take care of all needs. May the loving spirit of God in us allows us to surrender, affirm, accept who we are, knowing that God is all-knowing and will take care of us. Amen.